So what a great day already, and you're in for a treat. There's a testimony that you're going to hear this morning from our special guest. I'll introduce you to her in a moment. Don't get too excited, but I'm only going about 12 to 15 minutes. So I don't want any applause or any amens for that, but we want to leave time for our guest to share her testimony. I'm very excited about that. But I want to kind of set this up a little bit. Today is what we call our Compassion Sunday. We are a church that supports and adopts, if you will, children. Our kids that we adopt for our church, we've chosen Riobamba, Ecuador, and we have 99 kids that we have sponsored right now as a church, and we're going to see that grow today. We already saw it grow after first service this morning. So I just want to be clear up front what we're about today. We're going to hear about compassion, but I think it really falls in line with who Jesus is. Compassion is something that's been a part of Compassion International. Has been something that's been a part of Heather and ours, my life, for us for about 15 years. We've had 7 different kids that we've been able to sponsor, and it's been such a blessing. Currently, we have 3 because some have graduated. I was saying we had one had to drop out of the program because they moved to a different community that didn't have a sponsoring compassion ministry there. So those are always hard in those ways, but it's so good, and we're so excited to share about compassion because we believe it aligns with the series that we're in, Just Jesus and the Gospel of Mark. And if we're going to be about Jesus, and I believe, here's what I believe. I believe you're here this morning for 2 reasons. First of all, I don't believe it's an accident that you're here. I believe that God has every one of us here on purpose for purpose. But I believe that you're either here, whether you know it or not, because one, if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you're investigating. You're checking Jesus out. You're curious. You're interested. And I say, keep the curiosity going. Just keep on that journey. And if you have doubts along the way, it's okay. We've all had doubts. And by the way, one of Jesus' 12 was a doubter. And there was room at the table for doubters around the disciples. And so if you're a place today and you're just trying to decide and discover faith, I think church should be the safest place to bring your questions and to bring your doubts. You're in a good place. But I believe the other group that's here is you're wanting to follow Jesus, or you want to follow Jesus more closely. So that's what the Gospel of Mark is about. That's what this Just Jesus series is about. It's about who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who was he interested in? What did he do? What things were important to him? Where did he go? Where did he spend his time? And I think as we look in the Gospel of Mark, if you narrow things down to 2 or 3 words, which I often do this. In fact, I do this every time I meet with a family that's grieving at the loss of their loved one. One of the questions I ask the family is, what is one word that you would describe grandpa or grandma or mom or dad? What is one word that you would use to describe them? And of course, there's more than one word usually, but it's just to get us thinking, what is that? What do we want to be remembered for? And if you look at the life of Jesus, there are too many awesome words to describe who Jesus is. He cannot be contained to one word. But certainly at the top of the list is the word compassion. And I believe it just falls in line perfectly today with our Compassion Sunday. And I believe it's who Jesus was at the core. Jesus was a man and a God full of compassion. All through Mark, Mark chapter 1, 41 says, Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus reached out and touched him, said, I am willing, he said, be healed. He wanted to heal people. He had compassion on people. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And Jesus said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. He defined compassion. And it's easy for us to lose sight of what compassion is because like the songs that we sing sometimes, we know the words oftentimes that we can just sing them without thinking about them. I don't want us to lose sight today of what compassion is. This is the definition of compassion. Compassion is the deep awareness of and sympathy for the suffering of others, combined with the desire to help or alleviate that suffering. It goes beyond empathy by prompting action to support or comfort those in need. I shared with the first service this morning, In all honesty, this is an area that I struggle with. I struggle with compassion. And you may be wondering, what kind of pastor do we have up here today? Hang with me a little bit. Compassion is not my normal nature. It's not the way God really wired me. If you want compassion, go to Heather. God's wired her with great compassion. Compassion is something that I've had to learn, something I've had to grow in, something that I've had to ask God to help me to be more compassionate. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I have compassion, but my compassion usually, it revolves around the things that matter to me most and those that are closest to me. So I am greatly compassionate for my family. I'm greatly compassionate for my girls. I mean, I would do anything for them. And when they hurt, when our girls hurt, we hurt worse than they do. You know that as parents. You hurt for your kids when they're hurting. There's great compassion that we have for our kids and our grandkids. Or experiences in life make us compassionate. So I had a friend over 10 years ago my best friend that betrayed me. And I'm not going to share that story today. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is this. Ever since that moment, people that I've come across in my journey in this church, in this community, that they've had a business partner betray them, or they've had a wife or husband betray them, or a best friend or a friend or a community betray them. Not a community, but just someone close to them betray them. My heart is drawn to them. I want to hear more of their story. I'm filled with compassion for them because there's an experience there. We tend to be drawn to things that we're closest to and what we have the most experience in. So when it comes to things that are far away, things that we don't see all the time, it's not that I don't have compassion, it's that I just put it out of my mind and I don't think about it. I don't spend my time being where it should be concerned. I don't think I'm alone. I think this is where the disciples were. Jesus, who is full of compassion because he's God. But his disciples had a long way to go. And there's a story that we're familiar with in the book of Mark when the children came to him. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 13, just four short verses. Yeah, four short verses, I'm just making sure. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but his disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. We see here the disciples, there wasn't compassion because their hearts weren't close to these kids. They had been walking with Jesus now for a period of time, and they'd seen Jesus do amazing miracles. They'd seen him do amazing things, feed thousands with just five loaves and two fish. They'd seen him heal the blind, and they'd seen him, the mute and the deaf, they could talk and they could hear, and the lame, they could walk. They saw these grandiose things, and now these little kids were coming, and to them it was just an interruption to what Jesus needed to be doing. And so they were trying to be good stewards of Jesus' time, and they were like, "No, he doesn't have time for this. He's got bigger things to do." But they didn't fully know the heart of Jesus yet, because Jesus' heart is for the little children, and Jesus' heart is for them. Jesus is full of compassion. He is marked by compassion. So today, if you're following along in your notes, we're going to talk about the marks of compassion. And we're going to talk about it in two ways. One, the marks of compassion of Jesus and what it is to be a Jesus follower, but also Compassion International, who is one of our partners, who we partner with them specifically with a Nazarene church in Riobamba, Ecuador, to help deliver children from poverty. So we're going to look at the marks of compassion today through this story. If you're following along your notes, the first one is this: compassion brings children to Jesus. The people were bringing the little children to Jesus to place his hands on them. They were compassionate. So there was compassionate people that realized this is a good thing. We need to bring these kids to Jesus, because they saw what kind of love Jesus had. And so they freely brought them to Jesus. And Compassion International is a Christ-centered, they're a Christ-centered organization. And I have a great confidence in them. I have a great belief in them. We've been partners with them personally for 15 years. In the last church, in our current church, we've been partnering with them. My last church was Haiti. This church, it's been Riobamba. But Compassion is Christ-centered. Here's the mission of Compassion. The mission of Compassion is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. There's a lot of good organizations, great organizations. There's a lot of good and great organizations out there that their mission is to release children from poverty. Everyone wants to see kids released from poverty, but Compassion specifically wants to see children released from poverty in Jesus' name, because they recognize that we don't just have a physical poverty, but every human being has a spiritual poverty. And until we give our lives to Jesus Christ, until we're baptized in his name, we are spiritually impoverished. And if we don't have Jesus today, we're impoverished today. And we may have all the food on the table, but we're poor spiritually. And we all start poor spiritually. But they want to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And so everything is about Christ. They have every participant, the millions of kids that have gone through their program, every single one hears the message of Jesus Christ. Every single one hears the gospel. And here's what I find astounding, especially for a church that we're trying to be for the one, and we celebrate when one more is baptized, when one more state takes a step to follow Jesus. We get excited about that because the angels in heaven rejoice over that. But I was astounded by Compassion that every 4 minutes a child is coming to Christ through the Compassion ministry. I'm glad to be a partner there because they're Christ-centered. Secondly, Compassion makes children the top priority. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them." Compassion is child-focused. It's child-focused. There's 2.3 million currently around the world in 29 countries being sponsored by Compassion sponsors like you and me, like us. And every single one of those kids is getting an education. Every single one of those kids is getting their medical needs attended to. Every single one is getting their spiritual needs attended to. Every single one is learning life skills. Every single one is getting nutrition that was not getting it before. They're getting what God, and who knows that we need to hear. We need to be fed physically before we're able to be open our hearts spiritually. And so they're feeding these kids. They're caring for their medical needs. They're giving them nutrition. They're giving them life skills. And you're going to hear today how that, when those life skills come to fruition, how we become productive members of society in that way. Compassion is kingdom focus. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God and like a little child will never enter it." Compassion is church-driven. Because Jesus wants the kingdom of God to grow, he started the church. The church is God's vehicle for advancing the kingdom of God. You and me, we're the church. Not this building. When we leave this building today, this is just a building. When we leave here, the church has left the building, and we go into our communities, but we gather once or twice a week, and we gather as the church, and others gather as the church around the name of Jesus Christ, and Compassion is church-driven. So they're in 29 countries, 15,000 churches, and we're one of those 15,000 churches that is partnering with Compassion to bring Jesus and to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I find it interesting, right now, we currently have, our church is sponsoring 99 kids. Well, it's more than that now because I know things happened after today. So anyway, more things going to happen after second service. But I found it interesting going into today that it was 99 kids, because what did Jesus do? He shared the parable that one more matters to him. He's not satisfied until he gets one more, until he gets another, until he gets another. And so we're going to be a part of something special today, to be a part of the church to help drive out poverty in Jesus' name. And finally, Compassion takes children in their arms and blesses them. Jesus took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Who in here, I'm taking one from you already, Kiwi, this morning. Who in here this morning is blessed? Who is blessed? Now, you know, I'm going to need better participation before we move on. I need to see every hand up here, because if you live in the United States, we are blessed. You can put your hands down. I know that's kind of a trick, manipulation. I apologize. We say, give us three Sundays. So give us three Sundays. We are blessed. God has blessed us so greatly. We have been given so much. And you're going to hear a part of that story today about what we take for granted each and every day. I have never, and I know we live in a community, and I know my wife teaches in a community where there are kids that are hungry here in the United States. I'm not diminishing that. But I just have to say personally, I've never missed a meal. I've never missed a snack, if I'm honest. I mean, if I want some ice cream, I just go get some ice cream. And if it's not in the freezer, I go to Brahms. I mean, my needs, my wants are always taken care of. We are blessed. We have so much. We have running water. We have inside plumbing. We have things that we take for granted that the rest of the world does not have. And so the question I'm asking for us today is, will you take a child in your arms and will you bless them? Because Jesus has blessed us. And Jesus wants to be a blessing through us to others. But sometimes, going back to my struggle with being compassionate, sometimes it has to become personal. And so our families, our kids, and our grandkids will do anything for them because it's close. And our experiences draw us close to things that matter to us. But about 12 years ago, I went on a trip to Kenya. And I went with a bunch of pastors, and I went with a large church in Sacramento, and I went with Compassion International. We got to see firsthand, boots on the ground, how compassion works through the local churches. I got to visit the third largest slum in all of Africa. I got to see poverty I've never seen before. I got to see sewage going down the streets that you had to navigate over to get into these homes where 8-9 people lived in one small little one-room hut. I got to see things that my eyes had never seen before. And on top of that, we had roommates that week, and I didn't get some other pastor from around the United States that week. God blessed me to be the roommate of Peter. And Peter was himself once a child in compassion who was actually beyond the age of being adopted and being sponsored. At the age of 11, he was living on the streets of Uganda, didn't have shelter, didn't have food, was scraping by on his own as an 11-year-old to get by when a man from Compassion, who was higher up, invited him in to the Compassion family, sponsored him, and I spent my week with Peter as my roommate. And I got to see before me what God had done through Peter's life. He now lives in Oklahoma. He's adopted like three kids. He's still a single dad. He's just a great man of God, and God has totally transformed his life, and he's transforming the lives of others. It became personal to me. And we try to make it personal in the way of the current kids that we have adopted. You know, I said we had seven. We currently have three because others have graduated from the program. But currently we have Miss, Lisbeth, and Pandam. And we've chosen them, and I might have made a mistake in doing this because people are out there looking for birthdays today. So don't get too stuck on this, but we got lucky enough that we found one, and Miss has Heather's birthday April 26th, and Lisbeth has my birthday April 27th. And yes, we're coming up upon April. It's almost birthday time. Just letting that out there if anybody wanted to know this morning. I'm just kidding. Now, we did that because we wanted another connection. And so Pandam, we have for October 20th. That was the day that I asked Heather to marry me 30 years ago. So there's these connections we found. Don't get hung up on those connections. If you can find those connections, but pray what God would want you to do. But my question remains, will you take a child in your arms and bless them? Will you maybe be a first-time compassion sponsor? And you don't even have to be from our community. You might be visiting family in town today. You can have a compassion kid. You can begin to love on them and write them, and they write you. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience. So I'm gonna read my, I didn't do this first service, and then I'm going to introduce you. Here's one of my letters to Heather and I recently from Miss. Miss is in Haiti, and our other two are in Riobamba. Dear Kent and Heather, I love this moment to write you this letter. How are you and your family? My family and I are doing well with God. I spent Christmas with my family. I participated in a Christmas party the project organized for all the participants. I would like to know how you spend your Christmas. Did you spend it at home or in another place? In my country, there is insecurity. My school activities are going well. I'm studying and working hard to pass this school year. I love you so much. May God bless you and your family. I thank you for the Christmas gift you sent me, which I brought clothes with. What do we buy when we don't even think clothes? I mean, we're thinking toys. I'm so thankful that God chose us to be a part of this opportunity. I'm going to share one story, and then I'm going to invite Kiwi up. First service, we baptized four, and one of them was three of our kids from, if you haven't got to know the Block A or Blake, how do you say it? Is it Blake? It just sounds better, Block A. Maybe that's Aaron. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. So anyway, Blake, yeah, some of you got that. So anyway, the Blake family, they just moved to Australia. Their first Sunday was Trunk or Treat Sunday. They went to Trunk or Treat that night. They just have dove into our church, and they've been part of our family ever since. Three of their kids got baptized because they went to one of our CIY camps and found Jesus. So that's why we give. That's why we support the things that we do, is because people, it matters. People come to Jesus. And what you're going to hear today matters. And I'm so excited to have Kristen with us. She's with Compassion, but her husband has a full-time job as a pastor in Kansas City, in Olathe, to be specific. I'm glad that you're here with us today. You'll see her out in the lobbies. But I'm so excited introduce Kiwi. This is second service. There's no time constraints, but yours wasn't that long anyway. I went just a tad over today, but yeah, plenty of time. So plenty of time. Kiwi is from the Philippines. She's what you call a Compassion alumni. And you'll hear that when she was 7 years old, what changed and what transpired in her life because of people like you. Would you give an inspire welcome to Kiwi this morning?
Thank you, Pastor Ken. Good morning, Inspire Church. How are you today? I am so honored to be here standing in front of you. If you would have asked me 20 years ago, Kiwi, you're going to be in Hutchinson, Kansas. I'm going to, where is that? You're going to be testifying about the goodness of God in your life. And I would tell you, oh, that could be impossible because where I came from, where I was born, but here I am today, because with God, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with Him. Can we give God the best clap? You know, my real name is not Kiwi, though Kiwi is cute. It sounds like a fruit. It's the fruit. My real name is Kiwani. It sounds Hawaiian, and I wish I was born and raised in Hawaii. But I know that God has a plan and purpose why I was born in the Philippines to a very poor family. My dad, he's an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. And each night, my parents, they would fight because he's always drunk. There are three brothers ahead of me who died because of lack of medical attention. My third brother, he was supposed to be born cesarean section, but my parents, they could not afford the medical care necessary. So what they did, they cut my mom open without proper anesthesia. My mom screamed for pain, but my brother, he didn't survive. But after that, I was born and my younger sister, May. And growing up in the Philippines, I remember it was so difficult that there are several nights, me and my sister, we would beg our parents, Ma, Pa, we could not sleep because we were so hungry. But even my parents would give up the food that they're about to eat, which is most of the time we would eat rice with soy sauce or rice and salt. It would still be not sufficient. I remember I would look at my neighbor's window to pretend to watch their television from outside of their house. But I would look at their table and see food and wonder, why do they have food tonight and we don't? And I remember vividly when apples were imported from America to the Philippines, and I would beg my mama, Ma, please, I want to taste this apple. But even a rotten apple, my parents could not afford to buy. But you know what, church? This is not a sad story because we have a good Father in heaven. One day, my dad, who's always drunk, picked up a tract from the floor in his workplace. For younger people, a tract is a reading material about Jesus. I don't know if we still have that. But in the tract, it says to go to a crusade. And my dad went to the crusade. And in the crusade, he heard about the love of God, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And my dad knows what it feels like to lose sons. But this God gave his only begotten son to save him. In the crusade, my dad received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And for the very first time, my dad went home sober. And my mom was so surprised and asked him, "What's wrong with you? What happened? Why are you sober tonight?" And my dad said, "Nothing is wrong with me. When everybody else says, I'm not gonna change, I'm gonna die an alcoholic, but the word of God says, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with me." So my dad, he brought us to church, and me and my sister, we would sit in Sunday school. In Sunday school, the children there, they would sing about Jesus, that Jesus loves the little children, all the children in the world, red, yellow, black, white. He cares, he provides. But as a young kid, I could not understand that. Who is this Jesus? If he cares and if he provides, but why do we live this way? But praise the Lord, because the story did not end there. At the age of 7, I was registered to the Compassion Program. At the age of 7, I was on a packet. At the age of 7, that packet went to Australia, and somebody picked up my packet, and he started to sponsor me. The very first thing in his letter, he said, "Kiwi, you are pretty, and Kiwi, Jesus loves you." I have never thought of myself as beautiful when I was a kid. I thought those words are for kids with nice clothes, bow in their hair. It could never be me. It's not in our culture to tell your kids, "Oh, you're so beautiful. You can be what you want to be." But later on, I begin to realize, Lord, is this how you see me? That I'm beautiful and wonderful in your sight, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I am a child of the one true God. I would go to the Compassion Program in a church, and there they would teach us how to properly wash our hands, brush our teeth, would give us medical and dental care, but the most important thing, he would tell us about Jesus. And my teacher there, she told me one time, "Kiwi, yes, you are poor. This is your situation. But this is not your destiny. For in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, 'For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.'" And oh boy, we love that verse because of course we love the future, the plans of God in our lives. But if you read down, it says, "Seek me. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." I begin to open the Bible. I begin to read the words of God. I begin to grasp the promises of God for my life. And I begin to believe that those words are true. And when I was in high school, when I was in 9 years old, my parents decided that they would move to the central business district of the Philippines, which is the capital of the Philippines. We can only afford one boat ride ticket to go to Manila. So we have to leave our dad behind. Me and my sister, we don't have tickets. So we would hide in the bathroom of the ship, a stinky little bathroom, so we won't get caught. And then after that, we would go to the very bottom part of the ship, where cargoes of fruits and vegetables are. And there are people there too, and they were hungry, and they were stealing vegetables and fruits to eat. And as a 9 years old, I thought to myself, I was hungry too, I'm gonna get the fruit. And as I was reaching down, somebody told me, "Kiwi, don't do that, God sees you." And I was so scared and ashamed of what I did. But later on, I repeated those words to myself, "Kiwi, God sees you. God sees you. He knows what you are going through. and he is doing something. When we arrived Manila, the capital of the Philippines, I thought our lives are gonna drastically change. But oh boy, I was wrong. It would rain, would pour. Every year there are lots of typhoons. And one day, me and my sister, we woke up with our bed floating on dark, murky flood waters. And my dad, he has to pick us up and knock on our neighbor's door and would ask them, please, please, can you take my kids? Can you let them sleep in your house so they won't get wet? Even though our life didn't change drastically, but the condition of our heart did, knowing that this is not the end, that God has a plan. In high school, I told my mama, Ma, I don't want to be poor anymore. I want to get out of this situation. I want to be able to go to college and take up something. And my mama said, let's pray because God will provide. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You know, Compassion partners with 29 partner countries. At that time that I was graduating high school, they launched a program for high school kids to go to college. And they didn't launch it in any other country but my country. And I was one of the first few students who was able to avail a scholarship to go to college. And this lady who is standing in front of you right now is a physical therapist working in a hospital in Dallas, Texas. God is so good. After my graduation in the Philippines as a physical therapist, I need to take a very difficult exam. There are lots of young students here. I don't know if you love exam, but I don't like exams. I'm just so scared to fail. I'm scared of what my people say if I fail. I'm scared of the unknown. But every time I open my Bible, God would tell me, Kiwi, is there anything too hard for me? And the answer is nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for the Lord. All of my promises for you are yes and amen. Out of 1,700 students who took the exam in the entire Philippines, I landed 10th place. And because of that, my government gave me a medal and cash prize. And as I was receiving this medal, I told the Lord, Lord, if only my sponsors were here, I'm gonna give this medal to them. Because of them, this is a reality. You know, every year in our church, we have a prayer and fasting, and usually I don't join because I was hungry when I was a kid. But that year, I joined and I only have one prayer, is to meet my sponsors. February came and March came, and a group of Australian sponsors came to the Philippines. And because my sponsor is Australian, they asked me to give my testimony, and I did. And after that, they told me, Kiwi, we want you to come to Australia, and we want you to meet your sponsors. And I think I have a picture for you. Edwin and Vina Bonnie, when I saw them, I just cannot contain myself. I run to them and hug them, and over again, I told them, thank you so much. You didn't just change my life, but my family, and I know one day my community. You know what? My mom became a pastor of a small community church in the Philippines. And 5 years ago, we opened our own kids' ministry in our own backyard. And we named it To God Be the Glory Kids Church, to give him all the glory for what he has done in our lives. He is such a faithful and good father. You know, 15 years ago, I decided to come to America to work as a physical therapist in the state of Georgia. I don't know where Georgia at that time is, but because when I was in the Philippines, I could not find a job. And I thought to the Lord, Lord, did I make a mistake in choosing my profession? But you know what? Our God is God. He doesn't make mistakes. All things work together for our own good, for those who love him. So one Sunday, I told the Lord, Lord, whatever the pastor's verse is going to be, that's your specific word for me. And the word is Genesis. A word to Abraham. It says, go out of your country. Go to the land that I will show you, and you will be a blessing. I said, is that a word for me? I don't even have money to go out of my country. Lord, if this is your will, it's your bill. You're gonna pay for everything. You know, where God guides, he always provides. You know, I applied online in the state of Georgia, and my employer said, Kiwi, we want you to come to America, and we're going to pay for everything. We're even going to give you $1,000 sign-on bonus. And 15 years ago, I was standing there in Atlanta, Georgia, the busiest airport in the world. And I could not believe that God had led me there. The land of milk and honey. And so I work in Georgia for 3 years. 12 years ago, I got married to a wonderful man from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I got myself a Southern boy. And you know, my husband's name is Terry Cook, and he's an executive chef in Dallas, Texas. Imagine, I was hungry when I was a kid. Now I'm married to an executive chef. I will never be hungry again. God can surprise us like that. And during the wedding, I invited my parents to come to the United States. You know where I took them after? I think I have a picture for you. I took my parents to an apple orchard in LAJ, Georgia. And my dad, he's picking up apples from the ground. And I told him, Dad, no, not those rotten apples. God withheld that rotten apple years and years ago because he has something better for us. God has blessed us exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think. That we're now able to pick up apples from the tree, the freshest of apples. In that moment, in that apple orchard, we're just celebrating about the goodness, the grace, the compassion, the faithfulness, the love of God in our lives. And I know and I believe that God has blessed us not to just keep it to ourselves. God has blessed us to be a blessing to other people, to be his hands and feet to other people. You know, you've heard this, the saying, hurt people, but you know what? Blessed people. I am now a sponsor of a total of 5 children. 2 has already graduated, 2 from the Philippines, because I'm biased. 1 from Haiti, and a little boy named Juan from Bolivia. Several years ago, me and my husband went back home to the Philippines and met my sponsor children. I have a picture for you. This is Carla and Andrew. And I could not believe, because I was like them before, that I'm changing their lives. That God has gifted me the ability, the opportunity to be an impact in their lives. God has changed my life so that I could help change theirs. God has released me from poverty so I can release them from poverty. 2 years ago, I went back home to the Philippines again and saw Carla for the second time. And she is now 16 years old. And she told me that life in the Philippines was so hard that her dad left them. And I told her, Carla, hang in there. Do not ever, ever give up. And that might be a word for you today. Hang in there. Do not ever, ever give up. God loves you so much. He is close to the brokenhearted. His arms are not short not to reach you. His ear is not deaf not to hear you. If God can release me from poverty, can release me from any situation that I'm going through, he can do that to you too. And one day, God will give you a chance, an avenue, maybe even a platform to tell your friends, to tell an acquaintance, to tell the church, to tell the world that we have a good, good Father in heaven. To him be all the glory and honor and praises forever and ever. Thank you so much, Inspire Church, and God bless you all.